Seems like the scripture's been on her heart for a while. These scriptures, some of them, I don't know really how in depth we'll get with anything or how far we'll go. I just know the scriptures that the Lord's maybe had on her heart. And want to read over in John in the 5th chapter. And I know I say it a lot. It's very familiar, I'm sure. But I don't know. It seems like sometimes you get to studying or you get to thinking on scriptures, and it'll just seem like, man, the Lord will pull scriptures up. You'll think about this, think about that. And then I have a hard time sometimes discerning, you know, what all truly the Lord's wanting for that hour. But He always brings by the answer. And I want to read this scripture here in the 5th chapter of the book of John. Read down just a little ways. It said, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. And I'll stop right there. But it seemed like it's been for weeks that this scripture's been on my heart, and I've just kind of been thinking on it a little bit. And I thought about it at this moment here over there at that pool, and it said there was 5 porches, and there's 5 areas around that pool. And it said that they were full of impotent people. That's feeble and weak people. People that was blind and halt, lame, all manner of different ailments that made them weak. And I thought about it as Jesus came by and he saw this man that had been there for 38 years. And as he talked to him, he said, Wilt thou be made whole? When he asked him that question, the first thing that man says, There's nobody to help me get in the water. He says when the, because it was the first one that could step in that was to get the healing when the water was troubled. And you understand this, mind you, now these 5 porches and all these people laying around this area, there's just multitudes. As I got to thinking about it, people that was needing something, and there was only a few could get it. And it had to be right at that very moment that that water was troubled. And he said he wasn't strong enough. So even in the feeble, there's some that's stronger than others. So it don't matter. It didn't have to be some athletic-looking person to be a missionary. It could be just somebody that was just a little bit stronger than he was. And they was going to get something that he couldn't have. And it's just bear with me just a little bit. And as I got to thinking about that, and as the Lord come to him, and he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And this man realized that there wasn't no help for him to get in there, but for 38 years, he kept going back with hope that maybe one day he could get this. And I got to thinking, Jay, about so many today, in our day, that we live. Matt just thinks, you know, I don't think I could get that. I don't think I could get saved. And they've been sick with sin for so many years. It may be 38. It may be just 12. It may be 50, 90, 100. I don't know. There was different people around this pole that was a different age, no doubt. But they all laid around hoping for one opportunity. Hoping just that one chance, Trevor, that they could just, if they could just make it just a little bit on their own strength, even in their most feeble state, they wanted to be a little stronger than somebody else so they could get it. And this man couldn't get a hold of it, Mike. Somebody always beat him in there. It says that they had to step into this water. The way it said is they had to step into it. These were feeble people. It was hard, Matt, for this to happen. And you think about today, the day and hour we live in. Think about the conditions of some people's lives. And how that they just truly had got to a place. I believe, I almost wonder if this man hadn't just got in just a habit of it. I believe he truly wanted it, but he just thought, there's no way I'm ever going to attain it. I'm never going to know what it's going to feel like to walk, to carry my bed. He never thought he would be that person. But Daniel, those people today, Shandy, they don't think that they could be like Trevor. They don't think the Lord could forgive what they did. They don't think they could be like Chad or Conley, that the Lord could ever forgive what they had. There's nobody they don't think that could help them to get in when the water's troubled, or when things is going on down at the church. They've done cast themselves off as hopeless and unable to get this because of their impotence and because of their feebleness and their weakness. But here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus walking up down there. I mean, one that's far greater than the angel that came down to trouble the water. Well, I got to thinking, and you just bear with me. I hope I can get this out like the way I do. Lord's been showing it to us. Then it's back as a time under the law when they had to go once a year and get atonement for sin. And it just covered for a little while. See, even you think about these people stepping into that pool, they might get their flesh healed, but they was going to die again. It was just something to get them by for the time being. Well, you think about that and the hopelessness that's in that. Every year, what if you didn't get your sacrifice down there to offer it up? What if something happened and you couldn't get to the priest to give him your lamb or your turtle dove or your whatever it took for whatever you were trying to atone for? What if you couldn't get it to him, Mike? There's always that constant fear of I may not get in. I may not make it. There's people living with fear like that in their life today. Thinking that they've done too much and they can't get in. There's people telling them they can't, Daniel. Hey, people saying that there's some that can have it and some that can't. No, it ain't so, Cody. No! We're not laying around a natural pole, and the stronger's going to get in, and the weaker's just going to have to accept what they are. No. You know what? That we all are, we are all sinners. There's not one of us in this way that's got a bit more willpower, got a bit more faith, got a bit more strength than the next one. We're all just as feeble and weak and impotent as the next. We all sit in the same place. There's some that feel they're less than others. But I promise you, we're all just as filthy, rotten a sinner as the next. And when Jesus comes by, he spoke to this man out of the midst of those people that day. And he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And you know what he done in his life? And this take me over to another scripture, man, that I was thinking on it, what the Lord kind of tied in with this. That man said, "There's no man to help me." What's the greatest problem with our lost people sitting on the pews, sitting at their houses, and when we witness to them, what's the greatest thing? There's nobody that can help me. Nobody cares. And they feel like, what do we all do? We all have so many excuses on why we can't have something. And I thought about when that man created and made the wedding supper and he begged me to come. I thought about that. And when he begged me to come, in other words, bid them, called them, gave them opportunity, what kept them from getting in on the supper? An excuse. An excuse. I married a wife, I bought some land, all kinds of things they come up with on why. And the Lord told his servants, he said, "You go out there and you bid them out of the street, you go out and you get the halt and the lame, you go just tell everybody, everybody can have this." He bid to everybody that they could come. You know how you're going to get this today? Get past the excuses. You know our lost people going to get this? Get past the excuses. That man had to get past his excuses, Jay. When he said, "There ain't nobody to help me," what did the Lord say? He said, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." He gave him his opportunity, didn't he? What did that man do? Stood up, took his bed and walked. Lord removed all the excuse, didn't he? When he removed the excuse, and he's letting that man know, "I'm the one here to help you today." It's the preaching. It's the preaching. Tommy mentioned it. How can you hear without the preaching? You know what we are as preachers, as witnesses, even now on our job, you know what we are? That's Jesus in our life walking by somebody that's laying there. We're just that messenger. Bub said it, maybe I think it was Bub said it the other night. Sometimes you know we're the only Jesus, maybe it's Mark. Somebody said that the other day. Sometimes we're the only Jesus, we're the only church that anybody will see sometimes. They're laying by their pool and they're just dying there. They've been there all them years and they say, "Well, that church down there wouldn't have nothing to do with me. I ain't never going to get in. They ain't nobody that ever make me to where I'd be able to get in on that healing down there." But you know what? When we go by and love on the job, man, and when we go by and let them see Jesus for just a minute, and see that they laid there for so long, we say, "Why don't you come to church with me?" They don't want me down there. There's that excuse again. Ain't no man to help me. There's that excuse. They see Jesus in our life. What an impact that impotent man had when he carried his bed.
Well, there's a lot of old Pharisees around and said, hey, you ain't got no right to be carrying your bed on the Sabbath. He said, you know what? The man that healed me told me to carry this, and I'm going to carry it. Yeah. Huh? There's a lot of people say, oh, my God, ain't got no business down there being in church. They say, oh, Mark ain't got no place down there at the church. They say, Chad shouldn't have nothing down there at the church. Old Dean don't have nothing down there at the church. I tell you what, they once told me to carry my bed. They once said I've got a right to stand up and walk. Not that man wasn't proud in himself. He wasn't boasting on what he done. He had laid there for 38 years. But he was proud of the man that told him to rise and walk. What'd you read, Trevor? With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what Trevor opened up with tonight. What did it say on down there? Said we wouldn't be ashamed, didn't we? That man wasn't ashamed to carry that bed. I'm thankful for the one that healed me. I'm thankful for the one that said, take up thy bed and walk. Jesus was the only one, Mike, that could do that in that man's life. Jesus is the only one that can do that in our people's lives, Mark. This right now, you got a son that the devil's telling me he ain't worthy to even set in the church house right now. I've got me and I work with that the devil tells him, I got a boy I've been trying to get to come to this church for a while. It works with me. And I know why he ain't here. He's pretty much told me he just don't feel worthy. He don't feel like he's somebody that ought to be sitting in the church. But I'm going to tell you this much. He's going to call his name. Say, preacher, some people's just destined and doomed to hell. Oh, no. Oh, no. I thought of another scripture. Over in the book of Revelations. And it's familiar to all of us. It's in the last chapter. He says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. 17th verse. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. So he says that the Spirit and the bride say, come. It says, and him that heareth say, come. So the Lord's calling, the church is calling, and what are they saying? Come. And let him that is athirst come. So that one that's needing what the Lord's got, that one that's thirsting for the things of God, let him come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, is there any way to misinterpret the word whosoever? Any way to misinterpret that? Tracing out the Greek, the Hebrew, as one old fellow there, Dale Banks, told me, said some fellow told me, said, you can understand this better if you'll look it up in the Greek. He said, I don't care if it's in the Greek or in the Greek. He said, I'm going to believe what the Spirit says. They ain't no way of misinterpreting that. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. So everybody's saying, come. Him that athirst, just come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, just in case you can't understand this, the word whosoever, if you want to look it up, it means anyone, any person, whatever. No misinterpretation of that word.
See, over there on that day around that pole, not everybody could get in. Back under the law, not everybody could get their sins atoned for, Mike. These people died for picking up sticks on the Sabbath under the law. Not all of them could get in. The priests and the Levites and those that walked as close as they could, even some of them didn't make it. So not everybody could get this, could they? Not everybody could find atonement. But there's one that came, and his spirit and the bride said come. And him that had heard this said come. And everybody that is athirst can come. Whosoever will. Let him come. Some today trying to reject some. It ain't our place. There's one that walked through and all them impotent people out there. He said, arise. To a man that didn't think he was ever going to make it in. Well, I don't care, preacher, what you say. I still think there's just some people can't. You know who can't? Whoever won't come.
Unbelief.
It's pretty simple. All I read was some saying come, this says come, that says come. And then he said, come, let him come. So what's going to keep a man from having this? If he won't come. So where does that put it? It puts it on the man to make a decision. It puts it on the man to make that choice. Everybody's saying come. It was up to this impotent man to stand up and take his bed. Or he could continue to lay there and say, I'm not worthy. He could keep laying there on that same old bed for another 38 years and never think he could have what some of them other kids get. He got a hold of it. And you know what he done? He wasn't ashamed of it. Those of us that's been saved, just like what I was talking about earlier, when I got saved, I went to school and I wasn't ashamed of it. I got a little older and got out in the workforce. I got on my job and I wasn't ashamed of it. I got to go along a little bit more. And started standing up in church. I wasn't ashamed of it. I stand before you today. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm still carrying my bed. I'm not waiting in it. I'm carrying it around for the world to see. I'm not that same old impotent man. I'm not that same old feeble, weak man in my flesh. There's one told me to start rising and walk. I've got something to carry around, not as a banner. It's to show off that I was a sinner. Not to boast in my sinfulness, but to show a banner that the Lord changed me from that man. I'm no longer that man, no more. There's only one way to get that. What we couldn't do, Christ did. See, that man couldn't make his way to that pole. And there wasn't no man would ever help him. He laid there for 38 years, mind you, and there wasn't a man ever helped him in. There's always somebody just a little stronger, just a little quicker, and he couldn't get it.
Till Jesus come by. I might read quite a bit right here. Hens just bear with me. Over in Hebrews, 9th chapter. I think I'm going to start maybe about the 11th verse. Hens just bear with me. Like I say, I know I ain't a good reader, but I want us to hear this. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. They which are called, mind you. Okay, go back over to Revelations and remember who got called. Everybody. Whosoever got called, didn't he? Who got bid to the wedding supper over there in Luke? Who got bid? Everybody. You won't find where one didn't get bid. But they some that chose not to accept it, chose not to come. Those are the ones that didn't get it. Because he said right there, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto us." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So the heavenly things themselves with better than goats. Everything of this earth, everything naturally, was purged with these things. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So there's that one that come down when we couldn't get in, Mark. But with this old natural things that would hinder us from getting full forgiveness, eternal forgiveness, we couldn't get in. And here comes Christ with a better. And he goes in, not in earthly tabernacles, not in the earthly thing, but he goes into heaven before God with his own blood. And it said, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. But I want you to listen to this 24th verse. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. When he come by, he offered it unto all, didn't he? He went on behalf of us. Not a few of us, but all of us. On behalf of whosoever will. Those ones that's laying around the pool today, that's laying around the churches, that's feeling like they're so unworthy. They are. But they're no more unworthy than you and I were. They still have an opportunity because the Spirit and the Bride say come. Those that hear say come. The church is beckoning unto them. Come. You can have this. If you're thirsty, you can come drink of the waters of life freely. My call. The world can have this. That one impotent man, 38 years laid there, and thought he was laid there the whole time for 38 years, and thought, I'll never be good enough to make it in. All these multitudes of people laying around me, how will I ever get through? How will I ever get through? How'd you get through, Mike? Faith. How'd you get through, Julian? Faith.
Believe.
Who has faith? He dealt the measure to every man. The measure of faith. How much is the measure? Enough. Enough. That's what the Lord has gave to this world. And if people are thirsty and they want to drink, they can have it. If they choose to just keep staying where they're at and being thirsty. They had a choice. He could lay there and keep laying there. Something's just keeping on laying there. Something ain't going to move from God's beckoning them. God's calling unto them. What did he do when he sent out that call to those and they didn't answer? He sent a call out to more. He just kept calling, didn't he? If they ain't going to come, it angered him. You read that, it angered him. You know what angers God? When he bids men, when he bids men, and they won't come. How angry does it make you, preacher? When you turn away and you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you put yourself in danger of damnation of hell. That's the book. When the Spirit and the Bride saying, come. When those that hear saying, come. When Jesus himself is standing at the door and knocking. Turn that away. That's when you realize what the anger of God can do. Just like we preached the other day, that place that wasn't created for man, but was created for the devil and his angels. An intruder is what you'll be when you're cast into that. Wasn't created for you. He created. Not to get back and try to preach what we preach, but he prepared something better than that for you. He prepared. How did he prepare it? For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, he prepared a place
as John saw that new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. He prepared that for man. Maybe it's just continuation of the other message the other day. Hey, I know it is. You want me to tell you what? If this here's been preaching for years, then keep a preaching. Hey, son, I'm trying to cut it off and make new scriptures out of it and make new thoughts out of it. But I'm going to tell you what, it's been for whosoever from the beginning. And it'll be for whosoever until the end. There's a time in our life, Mark, when others could get what we got in for us. Back under the law, none of them things. But after grace came through Jesus Christ, He opened the door unto all. He made a way for all men to have this. Don't you let nobody tell you they just ain't good enough. They can't have this. And ourselves ain't done us good enough. The only thing that will get you or will allow you to have this is to come. Step out and believe. Trevor read it. With the heart, then believeth unto righteousness. Then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Wonderful scriptures you read, brother. Wonderful scriptures. Hey, some calls that the Romans Road. It's just the Word of God. You want me to tell you some people think there's a certain scriptures that are the road to salvation. This whole book is the road to salvation. Yes, that Romans Road that they lead and talk about, those scriptures, yes, they're wonderful. But so is in the beginning God.
From Genesis to Revelation to save our people. Why? Because it's the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation.
It's like roadmap to heaven.
It's all the road. All the things that were before were just an example of the things to come. All the layout, all the things in Leviticus, all the things through Deuteronomy. All the things through Exodus, all the building of the tabernacle, all the tent, all them things was laid out and with the, right down from the laver to the candlesticks to the showbread, to the holiest of holies, to the veil in the temple, to those that was only allowed to go in being the high priest. It was all just a foreshadow of what Christ came to do for the church. And in that day, Daniel, back into that day, me and you, we couldn't have walked past that veil. Back under them laws, they wasn't just your average old anybody that could get into that holiest of holies. But there's one come, Daniel. And the veil of the temple was written twain. And you know what me and you got access to? The holiest of holies. So it's not just a chosen few that gets in there anymore. It sure ain't. It's whosoever will. You get thirsty, you get hungry, you can drink. Right from the holiest of holies. You can eat the bread that stays fresh on the table all the time. Study that sometime. I'll preach something a little bit. In revival one time, that showbread had to be fresh bread every day. I'm going to tell you what the bread we're eating of is fresh every day. I would to God, I wished I could understand all those things over there. The Lord ain't revealed everything in that to me. But I'm going to tell you what, He revealed enough unto me to know that I'm in, Mike. And it's through the blood that He's shed. That veil was rent in twain by Him. He tore down the middle wall of partition. That's why
We don't go to priests no more, Mike. You can sit in the booth all you want to and talk to a man behind a curtain and tell him everything you ever done wrong and never get forgiveness. You know where I go? He told me not to call no other man father. You're picking on religion. Oh, I'm just preaching the gospel. I've got one father. I go straight to him. Through the mediator of the high priest, which is his only begotten son. That's how I enter in. That's how I get to him. That's how I find forgiveness. Through his blood.
How did that impotent man get up and carry a bed and walk? He listened to Jesus.
That old feller had to worry every year if he's going to go get his report card and it say pass or fail on it. They never had no riches in this life. It's always been lesser than everybody and not strong enough to make it, Mike. That's somebody like that. That's somebody like me to have known about. How'd they ever get healed? How did I ever get forgiven? Because there's a man named Jesus come by. Yeah. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Yeah. You want to
be made whole, Dean Rice?
Take up your bed and walk in the name of Jesus Christ.
And when people ask you, "Who give you the right?"
You tell them, "You're my son." You tell them, "I'm the one that adopted you in, made you partaker of the kingdom of God." You tell them, "I'm the one that said you had a right to carry that you had a right to walk into the house of God." You tell them in my name. That's where you got the permission. Read where when them people started talking to that fellow, he didn't throw his bed down and start laying in, did he?
No,
out of fear. No.
Remember what I was talking about, how I went through this week and I was thinking, what could actually be said?
What could actually be threatened of me to make me say I wasn't his son?
I can't.
You can't make me throw my bed down.
You can't make me crawl in it again.
Because he gave me some legs to walk on. He took that that was weak and feeble and said, "Arise." And like I already said, I'm not walking around on Dean's strength, Dean's merits, Dean's good name. No, I ain't. Trevor, if you just know how in line you was, brother, with the Scripture.
That young man stood up here and he said, "Dean was preaching.
When I got saved, Dean didn't save me."
Right. He knows.
My buddy Aiden was the one that had convinced me to come to church with me, but Aiden didn't save me.
You think the Lord don't line things up?
That youngin back there been saved a few months, and he's in the same line as the preacher that's been saved 40 years. Hey, what's that tell you?
We're all in this together and ain't one no bigger than nothing.
Ain't some got a lot of growing and more growing to do? Yeah. But I'm going to tell you what, if we all follow the Spirit, we'll be in the same walk.
That young man right there, God didn't call him to preach the message that I preached tonight. But you know what he did? He opened up the service with the Scripture that God gave him that was right in line with the message he gave the man of God.
You don't think that's important? Yes, it's important. That's why I write down from the songs you sing,
write down to the Scriptures that get read, to the lessons that get taught, to the message that gets preached.
And it better be sought from God, because it needs to be in line.
Trevor said it.
He didn't get this from a man. God.
There wasn't another man could put this man in the pool quick enough.
Jesus, he just went ahead. He'll be right there on the spot. Ain't another man can save our people.
There's one can heal them right on the spot. If they'll arise and take up their bed and walk when he says to. Whosoever,
let him go. All, anyone, look it up. At every dictionary you want, look it up. See if you can find a different interpretation for whosoever. What about the elect, preacher, the chosen? Don't you think we was all chosen of God? Everybody got called. He says, many are called, but few are chosen. How do you get chosen? You come. That's how you get chosen. You come. He says to make your calling and election sure. So there's a call going out to everybody. And there's an election that can take place. There's a choice that can take place in your life. You better make the calling sure, and you better make the election sure. Right, say and come. Those that hear, let's say and come. Let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him drink of the waters of life freely.
Don't you let nobody twist your doctrine. Don't you let nobody twist your salvation. Don't you let nobody twist your children.
Preach.
You can throw a stumbling block out in front of these youngins. You can throw a stumbling block out in front of our lost.
You can cause them to think that there ain't no way they'll ever get in. You know what they'll do? They'll lay there in their bed for another 38 years and they'll die impotent. They'll die lost. Because Jesus didn't pass by, but because they had an excuse and you just lit the fire under it. These people, everybody's got an excuse. Everybody.
We've all got excuses.
I can plead your excuse, and you know what you'll do? You'll just wipe it up.
It's a whole lot easier in your flesh to believe your excuse than to step out on faith. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
A whole lot easier for you to take your excuse and some man give it a fire under it and you just say, well, I'm not worthy. I've been sick all these years. I've been a sinner all my life. I've been a drug addict. I've married 10 women. I've done this. I've done that. I just ain't worthy. I can't have it. I can't. And if somebody just throw gasoline all over a fire you done lit,
better be careful what we preach from behind the pulpits.
Better be careful what we talk about when we get around our lost people.
You just give them a reason, Matt, just keep laying there and say, I'll never get in because they ain't nobody with that faith.
There's a Jesus that come. There's a Jesus that took His blood right before the Father and offered it up for every man, woman, boy, and girl that ever drawed breath in a body.
How do you know whosoever?
How do you know all?
How do you know? Oh, everyone. How do you know? Because He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Who was lost? The man sinned in the garden.
Sure.
there's a pronounced death fell on every man. So from Adam until Christ came, and that thief on the cross accepted him there that day, till the day of Pentecost, however free you want to take it right up to that point, when the Spirit of God fell on man, you know what? Every man was lost. Until still to this day, until you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're lost. Who did he come to save? Sinners. Those that are lost. Seeking the sinful. Has he ever sought something he couldn't find? You know what that tells me? He'll find every lost man where he's at. And he will offer every lost man an opportunity to come out of where he's at. Some lean on their excuses. Some will say, I just can't have it.
And they'll deny, and they'll turn away. And there'll be a day when they stand before the Lord and he'll say, depart from me.
The only way he's ever going to know you is through faith in his blood. The only way he's ever going to know you, because you can't stand before the Father in your flesh and be justified. You can't stand before the Father in your excuses and be justified. You can't stand before him in your righteousness and be justified. The only way he's ever going to see you and know you is looking at you through the blood of his Son. As we preached a few weeks ago, that spirit of adoption, we get brought into this.
This is an important message that needs to get preached all through our lands. How do you know, preacher?
I know people right now that's battling with it because of what they're hearing.
I know children right now that's battling with it, Matt.
Because they're being made to think that there's not a choice in this.
That they're either going to die and go to hell or they're going to go to heaven. That it's not for whosoever.
There's people in their sins out there that's thinking that they went too far, that God can't save them. Because there's people that's throwing gas on that fire. That's the only thing that'll send a man to hell, Conley, that I read. Blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. What is that, preacher? When he comes by and he knocks on the heart
and he says, take up your bed. Walk. You say, no, I'm just going to wait there. He gave you your opportunity and you rejected it.
Maybe this has been on my heart for so many weeks. It's because I just see there's a whole lot more in it that I needed to find out than what I was getting ready to stand with. It seemed like every time I was going to preach it, I didn't fully feel like it was the time. And it was like Sunday night, I was going to preach. Bud showed up and I thought, well, it ain't time.
And he preached on what he preached on? Counsel. Take good counsel. Don't take your counsel with men. Don't take your counsel with nobody else. You take your counsel with God. Take your counsel with him.
You know what's got a lot of this old false junk going around?
Some man took counsel with himself.
Then he took counsel with another man. You know what's a dangerous thing, Daniel? It's for me to use, sit around and go, you know what I think?
Matt, me and you sit down and we open that book up and we say, you know what I think?
Oh no. Well, we might get 5, 6, 10 of us together. We may all think the same thing, but you know what we're thinking with? An old carnal mind that's enmity against God. That's death. That'll bring death to our people. I don't care if you agree with me or not, Mike. If it's the book, it's the book.
Amen. That's exactly it, Conley.
We better be so careful. So careful.
That's hanging in the balance.
Dang balls hanging in the balance.
Your buddies over at the school, Jay's hanging in the balance. Men and women that we work around on the jobs is hanging in the balance. They're just as able to have what we got as we are.
Amen. I thank the Lord for His word tonight. I appreciate y'all's prayers. I appreciate the attention tonight and the good liberty. Had wonderful liberty here tonight. And I'm just thankful for that. I appreciate you.